Wow. There's nothing more that I can say than wow this morning. But it's an honor just to praise and worship. And I think the way that Jay started this morning was saying we need to praise and worship our Lord and our King. And just through what we sang this morning, just worshiping the Lord, the Lord actually revealed through song a few things that I'm going to share this morning. So before we get into it, good morning, everybody. Okay, cool. I hope everybody's doing well this morning. So if you don't know me, my name is Rudy Neubauer. I've got my wife, Elmandy. We're going to share our testimonies this morning. And then my daughter, Emma, is here this morning. And I've got a son that's turning 17. He's not here this morning, Rudolf as well. So we both are Rudolf, although people call me Rudy. And we're going to speak about names this morning. It's quite centered to what I'm going to share this morning. Like Anson Lee also shared their testimonies, and he was speaking around a particular person in the Bible, spoke about Saul, where Jesus actually intervened. He blinded him on the road to Damascus. He changed his whole life, but he also changed his name. So I'm also going to share on an individual this morning, also in the New Testament. He's got a couple of names, so if I miss it a couple of times this morning, just be gracious with me. He had a few name changes. Actually, if you read through scriptures, you'll see that Jesus changed his name a few times. And even if you look at those scriptures, we'll see those a few things coming through. So if we can maybe just start to the first scripture. So the person that I'm going to speak about this morning is, obviously God called him, like he's doing with each and every single person here this morning. So there was a calling. He responded to that calling. He immediately said, I will follow you. And then God completely changed not only his name, but completely changed and transformed him. So if you can start with the first scripture in Matthew 4, verse 18 to 20. And I've titled my preach this morning around, failure is not the end. I think it's something that we all struggle with. So failure is not the end. Okay, cool. I'm just going to read from here. I'm not going to look, otherwise I need to turn my back. So it starts off in Matthew 4, verse 18 to 20, and it's where Jesus calls his first disciples. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. So that word immediately stood out for me. So why would they just immediately follow this Jesus? And we sang this morning, there's power in that name. But just looking at that particular verse, I wasn't quite sure, but how can they just immediately leave everything? And I actually went to the dictionary as well. That immediately is at once, instantly. So it's not, I need to pray about this. I need to speak to my elder about this. I need to get some counsel. My accountability partner need to help me out with this one. He immediately followed. But what's actually interesting, if you read the scriptures and you go to John was preaching a message while he was baptizing. He was preaching this message about the Messiah, the coming Messiah that everybody was looking forward to. And he was preaching that. And obviously we know through scripture in John 1, we saw that he baptized Jesus as well, and he said, the Lamb of God. And while he was preaching that, Andrew's brother was actually one of his disciples. So Andrew was standing there, he was listening to what John the Baptist said, and he said, this is the Messiah, this is the Lamb of God. And he immediately followed Jesus. So as Jesus walked past, you can just imagine, he's now following this Jesus. He wants to find out who this Jesus is, because he knew at that stage that the Messiah was coming, and he met Jesus. And while Jesus was sharing with him, the next moment, he was thinking about his brother, and he decided, I need to grab my brother. And he went and he fetched Simon. And he said, Simon, you must come and listen. I think we found the Messiah. So that was leading up to him immediately responded. He knew Jesus. Similar to us this morning, is somebody has spoken to you, somebody told you, You must meet this Jesus of mine, our Jesus. You need to meet him. He's amazing. He's all loving. He's all caring. He can make a way. He will transform your life. He can do all these wonderful things. So come and meet him. So that was the first instance. So they had to have the introduction before the calling. And then as we read through Scripture, you can see there were several encounters as well where they saw that Jesus did miracles. So he changed people's lives. He transformed people's lives. So at that stage when Jesus called them, they knew there was something there. So they decided to leave everything behind. And I think that's the challenge something sometimes for us. We get here and that, Lord, the price is just too high. It's just too difficult. I've got my parents. They are sick. I need to look after my children. I've got this job. I need to hang on to all these earthly things. And what Jesus is saying is, follow me and I will make a way. And even in this example, and we're going to go into more detail where he failed miserably as well. So he's not perfect, but he decided to react to that call of Jesus, where Jesus said, come and follow me. And we know, and you'll see now, how God is going to transform his life. If we can jump into Matthew 16, verse 13 to 19, and I've titled this next point, From Revelation to Rebuke, or From Hero to Zero. So we often fail as well, and I was thinking about this, but he's Simon Peter. God built his church on this man, so surely there must be something special. And I'm going to show you now how somebody can fail in less than four scriptures. I'm going to show you now. So what happened here, and we start in verse 13, he says, now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do you say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosened in heaven. Now, I think if I have to ask you that question, if Jesus speaks to you today and he says, that is God revealed through you, that is awesome revelation, you are the man, I'm going to build my church on you, and we sometimes get to that place, yes, God gave me revelation, you think you're all powerful and you can do everything, you are the guy. Be very careful, because you don't want God to humble you, and we're going to see now how Jesus actually humbles him. So let's go into literally from verse 21, if you can bring up verse 21. So we were reading up to verse 19, 20, 21. Okay, here we go. For that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and on the third day be risen. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. So he was rebuking Jesus. Far be it from it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. But he turned to Peter, behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. So you don't want to be rebuked, and that's what actually happened there. And I think we sometimes get it wrong as well. I was reminded while I was preparing, we were looking for a new building. We were saying, Dimville Central, our rent has come up now, no longer allowed to be in that building anymore, and we're looking for a new building. So we were praying, we were trusting. He's a loving Father, he will provide. Why will he not provide? We were fasting, we were doing all the right things. And it's like, Lord, why are you not providing a building? Even the church behind us, they got another building. I'm like, Lord, what is happening over here? What are you busy with? But in that time, God was trying to do a new thing. So had we, in our human ability, intervene and our fleshly desires intervene. We're looking for a new building and we stuck to that. You guys won't be sitting here today. God wanted to do something specific in that moment. And I think this is just an example for us where we, out of our flesh, sometimes can step into a situation and we want to solve the problem. We want to solve the person's issue. And I spoke to Anne yesterday as well on the phone about something else, and it just popped in my spirit. We often want to do Jesus' work as well. That person is in financial difficulty, so what do? Before we even pray, before we even seek the Lord, we want to give. We want to take them out of that situation. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but you need to allow Jesus to walk ahead because Jesus wants to do something in that person's life. So imagine you stepping ahead of Jesus. Jesus wants to do something in somebody's life, and now you intervene and you do it. It doesn't allow God to do what he needs to do. So I want to leave that one with you this morning. So be mindful that you don't step ahead of what Jesus wants to do. And you can see in this example, that's exactly what happened. And then I want to go on to my third point, and it's around denial and restoration. Denial and restoration. And it's in Matthew 26, 31 to 35. And we know this scripture very, very well. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night, for it's written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep and the flock will be scattered. But after I'm raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. I love Simon Peter because he's got this boldness about himself. He steps into that boldness, and I can relate with some of those things that we read about this morning. You've got the passion, and you just want to go for the things of God. And sometimes God speaks to you through situations, but you tend to almost, "Lord, I know what I'm doing." It's like Peter, "Yeah, Lord, this will never happen. And whatever happens, I'm with you, Lord. Whatever you do in my life, if you take away my job, if you take away my work, if something bad happens, I will keep on following you, Lord, no matter what." And I've often seen people in difficult situations. Where do we turn? Do we turn towards the Lord? Or do we tend to drift? We're going to share our testimony this morning as well. And then we see in, and I'm not going to read, just for time's sake, I'm not going to read through Matthew 26, 69 to 75, but we know what happened there is they took capture of Jesus, they took him, and then Peter was standing there, he was looking at Jesus. You know obviously what was happening, but he was scared. So in that moment, people reached out to him to say, "But you, Simon Peter, weren't you the guy that were following Jesus?" And he said, "No, that isn't me." And then a second servant girl came to him to say, "But you are the guy. You're speaking the language. You are the guy that was with him." And he said, "No, that wasn't me." And he even goes on to in verse 74, then he began to invoke and curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know this man." And immediately the rooster crow, and Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Just a reminder for us as well is we sometimes also deny Jesus. We think it's only Simon Peter. He denied him. But we often find ourselves in situations at work and people speak against Jesus. They start swearing. And what do? We sometimes join into that. Or around the braai, people start speaking bad about their wives or speak badly about somebody. And what do? We follow those discussions. We sometimes even lean into those discussions. We sometimes also start swearing maybe just to fit in into this world. So it's a reminder for us as well. So do not compromise. We are not perfect, but we shouldn't compromise. And similar to what happened to Simon Peter here, he was compromising to such an extent that he actually started swearing as well. But Jesus never leaves us. He will never forsake us. He will never reject us. And his heart is to restore us. Yes, Simon Peter failed miserably. We can see it in the scriptures. We thought, I'm the man. I can walk in front of Jesus, and he's not the man. And he denied, openly denied Jesus. But yet Jesus had a plan with this man. He said, your name I will change. Your name I'm going to change from Simon Peter. I'm going to call you Peter. And on this rock I'll build my church. So God had a plan for him. The only thing is, he had to be restored and transformed. He had to be shown that you put things in your life, in your heart, that I want to change. Things that I want to transform. It's like he's doing for each and every single person sitting here this morning. I'm not perfect. Almani is not perfect. None of us are perfect. We make mistakes. And God is gracious through that. And sometimes he wants to work in those things, and he allows us to actually make those mistakes so he can show us, you human, you've got a failure, but I want to change something. So I want to leave it with you this morning as well, is do not step in and try and change people too quickly. We often, even as leaders, I was convicted as well in preparation for this. We want to step in and we want to save the person. I cannot save the person. There's only one, and that Jesus Christ, that can save a person. So be very, very mindful. And the encouragement for me out of Simon Peter's life is when you read in Acts 2:40, around about there, you see that Jesus used him powerfully. So he was the guy that was denying, and then on Pentecost, he stood up, and through the Holy Spirit, he preached powerfully, and 3,000 people were baptized and saved on that day. He's the guy that miserably failed, but he's the guy that Jesus restored because he wanted to use him. He wanted him to build his church. He wanted him for the message to be shared with everybody, the good news, like I'm doing this morning, is there's good news for you no matter where you find yourself. There's good news. Jesus Christ has died for your sins. But you need to turn away from your sins. You need to recognize that he's Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and he will change your life. But you need to be open to that. You also need to prioritize Jesus. And while we're going to share our testimonies, I hope you're going to pick up a few snippets out of what we're going to share this morning. And I said here, he turned fear into boldness. He turned failure into purpose. And Peter became a leader in the early church. God used a restored man to build his church. So that is short and sweet what I wanted to share this morning, because we're both going to give our testimonies now. So listen for that. While we are sharing this morning, we were also once broken people. And God can only use you when you get to that stage where you say, God, it's no longer me, it's you. You need to change me. You need to transform me. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. So this morning, the Lord has laid a few stories from my life on my heart for this morning. And I've prepared like what I would like to call it is stories from my life. just to share with you. And I really hope that it encourages you and that you don't look to like what I did, but what the Lord did in my life. Okay, so I'm just going to read because I'm a bit nervous and I don't want to miss anything. I grew up in Wellington, where I also completed my matric. We went to church as a family, but it was more about tradition than a real relationship with God. I knew about God, but I didn't really know him. For many years, I struggled internally, not knowing who I was or what my purpose was. I measured my worth by how others saw me. It was only much later in my life that I met Jesus. And when I did, everything changed. He transformed me completely. My heart, my identity, and the way I see myself and others. Rudy and I got married in 2000, and this year we celebrate 26 years of marriage. We are blessed with two children, Emma and Rudolf. And when we met, neither of us were saved or rooted in church. 10 years into our marriage, friends invited us to church, and that invitation changed my life. I realized that my life was not reflecting God and that I needed to surrender my life to Him. A few months apart, Rudy and I gave our lives to the Lord and we were baptized on the same day. Looking back, I can see how God protected us and our marriage during those early years. Shortly after I gave my life to the Lord, I lost my job and spent 12 months at home. I applied for many positions, but without any success. During that time, God taught me what faith looks like and what it means to truly and fully surrender. Looking back, I can see that God purposefully planned that season to draw me closer to Him and to teach me many things I would not have learned if I had not been at home. 4.5 years ago, we joined Josh Jean. God placed us in a church community where we were challenged to grow, and we became part of a spiritual family. Before that, we had visited different churches and stayed for short seasons, but it was only when we became part of the Josh Jean family that we truly felt we belonged and knew this was where God wanted to plant us. Not long after that, we began leading a community which stretched us in many ways. We had little understanding of what community leadership involved and had never experienced true community ourselves. Inviting people into our home was difficult at first, especially opening our home every Wednesday. But God transformed our hearts and grew us in ways we never expected. I realized that God wasn't looking for perfection, only a willing heart, and He did the rest. In 2018, my dad was diagnosed with cancer. It was a difficult journey, but God was present and faithful throughout. Rudy and I had the privilege of leading my dad in a prayer of salvation, and it was such a blessing to see him grow closer to the Lord during that time. In 2024, the cancer progressed, and the doctors told us there were no further treatment options. At the end of 2024, my mom passed away unexpectedly, and shortly after that, my dad became very weak, and he passed away 5 weeks later. Through losing my parents, I experienced how suddenly life can change. My heart was broken, but God gave me peace and understanding that only He can give. Without going into detail, I can honestly say that God was present in every part of it, and His timing was perfect in the way everything unfolded. I want to end by saying this, that God is with us in every season. Throughout my life, I have experienced His presence, love, guidance, and faithfulness. Even in the seasons when I was not close to Him, He never left me. God has completely transformed my heart and my life, and I'm so grateful for Him. I hope my stories has encouraged you today and reminded you that God has a plan and a purpose. No matter where you may find yourself, He is with you, and He will carry you through.
Yeah, thank you for the privilege and the honor to share our testimonies with you this morning. So I also had to step back a few years. So I was born in Pretoria. Please don't judge me. I grew up in a typical Afrikaans church, Afrikaans community. And then in 1983, my life took a turn. Looking back on it, it was a difficult season. I knew about God, but I didn't know God at all. And my parents decided to file for divorce. We were still staying up in Pretoria, and immediately after that, my mother decided to move down to Cape Town. And the reason for that is because most of the family is down in Cape Town. So we moved down to Cape Town, and literally 4 months later, my father passed away, which had a big impact on my life to such extent that I couldn't get to a stage where I can forgive God for what He's done to me, because I believe that how can you be a loving father? How can you allow an 11-year-old boy to be without his father? So for many, many years, I carried that in my heart. I didn't want to trust God. I didn't want anything to do with God. And like Kalmani shared this morning as well, is life happened. I finished school in Worcester, started to study, studied to work. And through all of that, God being still faithful in the background, me just not realizing what He was busy doing, eventually we ended up, we got married in 2000, like Amanda said, and even through that, we didn't attend church. We were far from God. We knew God, but we didn't have any sort of relationship. And then both our kids were born close to each other, 3 years apart, the one in 2006 and the other one in 2009. And then in 2010, I had this dream, since my father passed away, this recurring dream. So every single night I will get this dream over and over and over. And for about close to 30 years, I had the same dream almost every night. And we got invited by friends in September of 2010 there's a person in the church is going to speak about dream revelation, and looking back on that, I knew, because I had opportunities before that where people said, if you want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, put up your hand. And I'm like, nope, I'm not going to do that. I'm not prepared to stand up at all. So God knew He had to do something different. So we went there, and then Martin van Merwe was the person there that evening. So God placed him strategically that evening, and he was speaking around his book and dream revelation and all the rest. So I wasn't thinking of anything else except, I've got this dream and this guy needs to tell me what my dream is. So that's what I'm going to do. And I pitch up and I stand in front of him and I say, this is my dream, so now you need to give me the revelation. He didn't give me the revelation. He gave me another revelation. He said, have you ever given your life to the Lord? And before I could even try and say no, I said, yes, I've never given my life to the Lord. And he said, can I pray for you? And that evening, while he was praying for me, the Holy Spirit was all over me. I was like on fire. It's in the middle. September was quite cold. I can remember I had like a black jacket on, a thick jacket. I'm like, I need to take this off. Something is happening with me. And we were driving back to our home. And I can remember that evening in the car, nobody mentioned anything. We were just sitting there, Lord, what happened tonight? And then, like Amani shared as well, a few months after that, we both got baptized. She gave her life to the Lord as well. And that's where things sort of started changing for us. So we joined this church, and there was life in the church. We started really leaning into the things of God, but there was components missing in that church. And we initially didn't realize, and after some time, we started realizing something is just amiss here. So we walked, we had a relationship with the Lord, but there were still a lot of things in our heart, in our lives, that didn't reflect Him well. So we then at one stage decided we're going to actually leave this church. And we slowly just faded into the background. None of the elders came looking for us. None of the community leaders reached out to us. Nobody reached out to us. So we completely faded away. And then started visiting, doing some church hopping, as people normally call it, church hopping. And we ended up in a church that later actually became just before COVID, we joined that church that became Josh Chen Durbinville Central. And that's where everything radically started to change for us. In a healthy church, you need to walk in accountability. I didn't have a cooking clue what was accountability. So the next moment, I've got this ants person all over me. It's like, accountability, let's just chat about that. I see a few things in your life. I think if you can allow me, if you open, yes, for sure, there's nothing wrong in my life. Please speak into my life. And then Anne and Lee started highlighting things in our lives. And to be honest with you, it was super, super messy. I was like, I'm broken. Lord, I don't know what you want to do with me. There's something seriously wrong with me. And it wasn't like that prior to meeting Anne. It wasn't like that. Not at all. He broke me, but luckily Jesus restores as well. So yes, then we started leaning into community. And we didn't know what community was all about. The previous church didn't have community, so we didn't know. And then slowly but surely, God started to change our hearts. He started to work in us. As we loved Him more, He gave us a heart to love people. And honestly, and as I stand here today, I don't know what happened. I can't tell you in between for the last 4.5 years, but God was just slowly but surely just removing things. And even in our marriage, I mean, I would have harsh words for Mandy or all the children. And slowly but surely, God changed us. I didn't know if you speak about you need to walk in accountability. I didn't have a cooking clue what that was. But we spoke about it. And out of Scripture, you can see that you need to do those things. So that's the components within the healthy church. Kids church, your preaching and your teaching on Sunday, your worship, and all your communities, and those four elements coming together. And that's what the healthy church is all about. And then I just want to share something else as well. And I just want to make sure that I get it right. Step by step, I learned to love Him more and to love His people more. Through community, accountability, serving, stewardship, to steward your money well, didn't steward my money well. God entrusted us. God began to change us. Began to change me, not overnight, but deeply and intentionally. He placed people in our lives to change us. And today I stand here with the certainty that God can take a selfish, broken, misguided, prideful, just an ordinary man, and completely transform his life. That's my story, and that's what He's done for me. And the truth is, He's not finished with me yet. And He's not finished with you either. God uses restored men and women to build His church. And that's where I want to end off this morning. And I hope through what myself and Almandy has shared this morning is just snippets of our life and how God can take ordinary people, an ordinary couple that was far away from the Lord, and He can change you and He can transform you no matter where you find yourself. So I'm going to ask you to maybe just close your eyes for a moment. So I've shared about my Jesus this morning and how He transformed my life. And now I just want to introduce you to this Jesus of mine. And if you've never responded to Jesus before, I'm going to ask you to be brave and just simply raise your hand. I promise I won't put you on the spot or call you out to the front. We just want to pray for you afterwards. That's not just about hearing my story or our story. It's about stepping into your own, because the same Jesus Christ who changed my life is calling you today. So please don't be like me and take the step. Surrender your life to Him. Accept Him as your Lord and Savior. If I could just ask if there's anybody here this morning that's never responded to Jesus Christ to say, Lord, here I am. I want to surrender my life to you. Can you please just raise your hand? I want to encourage you. There's an opportunity this morning to say, Lord, come and change me, come and transform me, come and do what you need to do in my life. But you need to take the first step. You need to recognize that He's your Lord and your Savior. Anybody? Just want to make doubly sure, nobody. We are all good this morning. Okay, so it looks like we are all good. And if we can just keep our eyes closed. So there's a second group that I want to speak to. Those who maybe drifted away, like we once did, or I once did. And if you've been living for yourself instead of putting God first, not making Him your first priority, knowing that Jesus is calling you back to a life of commitment and transformation for His purposes, I want to invite you to stand with me this morning. So if that is you, and you want to ask God this morning, Lord, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. And through what was shared this morning, Lord, I want you to come and I want to make you first and foremost the priority in my life. I want you to change and transform me. Can I ask that you would stand? I would just love to pray for us this morning. Thank you. Thank you for being brave. See you. Anybody else? It's not about me. It's not about the rest of the people in the school hall this morning. It's between you and the Lord saying, Lord, here I am. Come and change me. Come and transform me. Anybody else? Okay. I'm going to end off for us. Thank you. Okay. You can just keep your eyes closed. Lord, thank you so much that we can see through Scripture how you've chosen certain individuals, Father God, to build your church. And your example that you showed us this morning is through Simon Peter, Lord, where you changed his name, Lord, but you changed more than his name, Lord. You changed him forever. You gave him the boldness to step out. You used him powerfully, Father God, to spread your message, the good news that you are our Lord and Savior. So thank you this morning, Lord, for giving us this opportunity to share your word, to touch people's lives, Lord. Thank you that you will never leave us, that you will never forsake us. And no matter where we find ourselves, Lord, that we can reach out to you and say, Lord, I'm not in a good space, Lord. I'm struggling. I need you, Lord. And you will hear our cries, Lord. So this morning, we're crying out to you, Lord. Help us, Lord. Transform us, Lord. Help us to make you priority in our lives, Lord. That we would put you first, Lord. That we will leave those fishing nets behind, Lord. That we will leave the worldly things behind. That we will be reminded this morning that you've got a plan and a purpose for us. And there's an end destination to spend eternity with you, Lord. But we can only do that if we accept you as our Lord and Savior. So thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you for you that spoke to your church this morning. And thank you that you are a Lord that can transform and change lives. We pray, Lord, that your word won't stay just here this morning, but that your word will go out and that people's lives would be transformed and changed through this word that was spoken this morning. We pray that in your mighty precious name. Amen and amen.